into the LGBT world. Get it all in one package. Entertainment, music, gossip, an exclusive interview. Only on No Strings.
With Mike Damon.
Hi, welcome again to No Strings. I am Mike Damon, and I'm super, super excited to have you again on another episode of No Strings. No Strings is Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. Sometimes in No Strings, I get to talk alone. Sometimes I get to talk with someone, and this is one of those episodes where I get to talk with someone. You know, when I first did an episode on the topic, are you a man or woman? I wasn't actually expecting anyone to debut with an answer, but I'll be talking to them and they're going to shock us, of course, with their responses on the subject. And of course, at the same time, tell us so much about what it really means to be a cisgender. I know some of us do not know, you know, the meaning of that word, but I can assure you that after this episode, you're sure going to know everything there is to know. But before we take that journey into that person's life, I'm going to do, you know, the ritual thing where I take a short break and then finally come back again to No Strings. I'll be back shortly. Stay on No Strings.
To be told, with No Strings attached, listen to the actual voices of members of the Nigerian LGBT community. Only on No Strings with Mike Damon. Visit www.nostringspodcast.wordpress.com. You're listening to No Strings.
Hi, welcome back to No Strings. Ian, I am Mike Damon. No Strings, of course, is Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. If you notice carefully, you would have observed that I use the word they and them. I did that on purpose, and you'll find out why pretty soon. For this week, I'm going to be talking to Seyi Adebanjo, formerly Oluseyi Adebanjo, the queer gender non-conforming Nigerian. Seyi raises awareness through digital video and multimedia photography, and also has a strong relationship with art, media, imagination, ritual, and politics. Now, talking about ritual, let's do another ritual thing, of course, where we officially welcome wonderful people to No Strings. Seyi, you're so welcome to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. I'm so, so excited to have you on. No, we are so excited to have you. I think that does it better. Seyi, you're so, so welcome to No Strings. So, Seyi, my listeners would like to meet you now. Can you briefly tell us a little about you?
Thank you, Mike, for having me. To say a little bit about who I am, I'm a queer, gender nonconforming Nigerian MFA artist.
Okay.
I'm a media artist who raises awareness around social justice issues through digital video, multimedia photography, and writings.
Okay.
What I love about my work is that it's the intersection of art, media, imagination, ritual, and politics. And I've been able to just use my tool as a leverage in terms of the different issues that I'm excited about, looking at talking about bridging spirituality and social justice,
okay,
having conversations about queer people of color, queer and transgender non-conforming folks of color, looking at such issues as immigration, and talking about, like, how do we create a world where there's peace and end in violence against people.
Okay.
And been able to use my documentaries and photography to bring that awareness, not just in New York City, but also on the national, and working to make it more of an international level. And who I am is somebody who just really believes art is a great tool for social justice, and without it, we won't be able to be liberated.
So much there, but I'm sure that's cleared up. So, Seyi, how do you identify now? Is it as a male or female? Because I know some of us can or could really be curious. So please tell us.
I identify as gender nonconforming, so meaning that I use gender-neutral pronouns such as they, them, or my name. I'm somebody who say that I am in between worlds. I'm in between genders, and I'm also in between cultures.
Okay.
And as somebody who stands within the binaries of gender, it's a different space to navigate, and which can be difficult.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are so used to this really gender binary that's really oppressive and dangerous, that you have to either be a cisgender woman or a cisgender man, and not everybody identifies that way in the world because there's lots of other genders that exist simultaneously.
Okay.
And so I'm one of the people who really claims that space and talks about and embodies how to be in the space of in between.
Wow. Okay. So how do people address you publicly? And how do you document yourself just in case you are given a piece of document to feel that doesn't have trans or anything of that nature, you know, indicated on it? How do you manage that? Please tell us.
That has been a challenge, and I've seen as, you know, it just, it's always up to what, where people are at, you know. It always surprises me, like, after I tell people I identify as gender nonconforming and just call me by my name or they or them, that they start to misgender me and call me she. That always baffles me because I'm like, no way did I tell you that that's how I identify.
And true.
As somebody who's more masculine presenting and has facial hair, that people just automatically assume because my voice isn't deep or as I've gotten smaller and not as muscular as I've been in the past, people just always want to identify me as she. And so that always perplexes me because it's a way for them to just pigeonhole me and want to be able to deal with me and want to be able to put me down and just subject me to whatever their fantasies are, ideologies of who I should be because I'm not taking up a lot of space as somebody in this world. And also as a way to just oppress me and take the, you know, my power away from me. So that's always something that is challenging when I just meet people and this is our first experience with each other and they want to go to she, and I'm just like, nowhere in that conversation did I say that. And so that has been challenging. It's also interesting to hear when people identify me as he, I'm like, I can, I'm in more place to deal with that versus getting gendered the other way and living in the world that way. But my preference is just to have people use gender neutral pronouns and talking to me and just really looking at how do we embody gender in a way that's different in our society, because a lot of times we have these theoretical conversations about gender, and then when it comes to talking about people describing this world, people go back to what's comfortable and what's familiar, which is like gendering people in a way that's within the binaries. And I think once our society is able to
move
get through
that,
gender and gender expression and able to be comfortable with how people show up in their different representations of gender, where, you know, where we can have a masculinity that honors femininity, where we can have a femininity that also honors masculinity, and everyone just be okay in their bodies and however people choose to say and identify who they are.
Once
we're able to be comfortable with that in our society, we'll be in a much better place. And since one, cisgender, it's still a very dangerous territory, and if people don't know who you are and how to classify you, it makes it really dangerous because they have to know, and it drives a whole lot of people to violence and to doing things that makes
shouldn't
people
do.
Really unsafe, not just in terms of like spiritually, emotionally, and also physically. So that's one of the things that becomes difficult depending where I go and how people want to gender me and treat me, and that misgendering and that violence will dictate how I'm going to be and if I'm going to be able to be safe in that moment or if I'm going to have to be quiet and be okay if I get misgendered or have to find safety in a backup plan. So that can be a difficult issue to address a lot of times. Just dealing with people, and in terms of how my identifications are, it varies. I'm one of those folks who have different gender markers depending on different IDs. Some of my gender markers are still say female, some say male and whatnot, and just wanted to be able to change things as I could afford it, and then also looking at that I don't need to change everything right away in terms of someone who's gender nonconforming and whose spirit is transcending gender. So that can be a difficult issue to tackle with because it's expensive. Passports, IDs, and all of that. And there's lots of different state agencies that want different requirements in order to be able to change the gender marker. And I wish we could just, you know, be in a society that could accept us for who we are. However, that is not always the case.
Wow. So true. So true there. And thank you so much for trying to educate us as well. Now, when did you start noticing that you're different from the person outside? And how did you come to that conclusion that you have someone else, you know, someone there within? Tell us, please.
Different? I've always been different. I've always identified... I've always been more masculine presenting, and in terms of my energies. However, my masculinity has never been about it being like really oppressive towards anyone or about being really hard. I've always been one of those people who expresses myself, you know, and I wear suits or ties or whatnot, and you know, I'm more masculine identifying. But however, there's also been fluidity and a balance in terms of my spirit, and also being able to identify with the feminine that's within. But since, you know, since a youngin, I've always been more, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, like looked like a tomboy. And you know how it is in Nigeria. It's never been a thing to cut somebody's hair short.
Yeah,
and so that was never a thing. So it was always challenging. Like when I moved to the U.S. to get misgendered or people to, you know, as a child, call me a boy. And then as an adult, call me a girl and go back and forth. So that's always been something that's been a little crazy to deal with, depending on what people's personal experiences are and what they want to label me in that moment. But I've always noticed that I was different, and you know, first came out as, you know, as queer, and then later now in life coming out as somebody who's gender nonconforming, which is under the trans umbrella.
Okay, can you tell us about your transition? How was it like? Do you have any set requirements or maybe things that you first did that helped you during the process to fully transition into the person that you have become? Please tell us.
I think transition, it looks different for everyone. And, you know, people always like to talk about how it's a journey, you know, and I don't think you ever finish transitioning. And I think everyone's in the transition in one way or another. For some folks, it's around their gender. And thinking for me in terms of my gender transition, you know, I kind of stutter around that question because for me, you know, I've identified as gender nonconforming for a while. And then I changed my name. When did I change my name? In terms of maybe 2010 or earlier, changed it to Sheyi. You know, one of the great things about being Yoruba is you have a bunch of names. And I had Sheyi, I thought was a great name for where I was going in this period in my life. And so I changed my name, and then I changed it legally on my documents to have it be my first name. And then I started a medical transition because not everyone chooses to transition medically and whatnot. And I started using testosterone and injecting that. And so that was interesting and still is an interesting experience of just how my body adapted to that and my spirit and stuff. And it was, you know, it was good to see of just starting to look more physically in terms of the facial hair that I always wish I had and having that come out presently. So that was exciting, but it took a while to grow the little facial hair that I have. And so that started being a thing, and just was really more active in terms of going to the gym and just really bulked up at the beginning of my transition medically with testosterone. And where I'm at now in terms of being on T is that, They've reduced the dosage just because it can be hard on your liver. Mm-hmm. And so I've lost some of those muscles and also because I haven't been to the gym as much. But I'm looking forward to bulking up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I've been on this journey in terms of taking testosterone. And mm-hmm. it is something that I struggled with at the beginning of if this was right for me, how my spirit would feel. And mm-hmm. how I would be able to walk in the world, and if I would, if it would just support me with being who I know that I am. And so, you know, and that was a challenge of just having to deal with how society then perceives you as, a black man in this world, and also just dealing with, losing spaces, losing friends and community because, now I started transitioning. And so that's always something that is, can be a challenge to deal with. And you know, I've gained some new community and I've lost some old ones because not everyone is into embracing people's gender fluidity and gender identity.
Nice. Now, some people would argue that the way you're feeling right now, or the way you feel, or the way you felt, isn't a part of a natural process. They would want to say that you chose, you know, to be the person that you are. So please, can you tell us that your need to transition, did it happen for you naturally or you initiated it? Please tell us.
For me, I think it did happen naturally. It wasn't something that I was contemplating for years and planning out how it would happen. As I said earlier, when I think it was, like 2009, 2010, just was going to a different period in my life and just of growth professionally, emotionally, and seeing that I was at a new chapter. I believe that part of that new chapter was also my gender fluidity.
Okay.
And and I think it happened in a way that was natural for me.
Thank you so much for putting us through to that, Shay. Now, do you have to see like a doctor or someone that would determine your readiness to transition? And will you need a doctor's approval to actually transition? Still talking about your transition. Tell us, please.
Well, each state is different, and each country is also different.
Okay.
The way it worked out for me in New York is that New York is a little easier, I'll put it that way, and just very privileged to have a bunch of medical institutions here where you are able to go and talk with doctors and get access to hormones.
Okay.
There's some places where they require you to see, you know, a psychologist or a psychotherapist for a year and then get approval before you can even get hormones and start to take that to medically transition. I was just very privileged and just really am grateful to have access to Callan Lloyd and some other medical health centers here in New York City where you can have access, and it's not waiting 12 months before you can start your process of medically transitioning. And so even though I had to go to a doctor, it was something that after seeing the doctor for a little bit and just talking about like who I am, where I'm at, what do I need, given just, you know, my thinking around my my body and gender identity, and knowing that I wanted to embody my masculinity in a different way than I had embodied it, you know, they gave me the okay to get prescription for testosterone and knew that I was somebody who was culpable and was in a place to be responsible, and that it was something that I was doing to be myself and not necessarily to run away or to be somebody else. And so that was exciting to be able to get the approval from the doctor and then start the journey of medically transitioning.
Great. Now, how about surgery? Will you have to change anything physically, and is this even necessary? I know some people are seriously curious to know about this. Most people think that for people to actually fully transition, you have, you know, to take that step, you know, to go for surgery to change certain things about yourself. Did you have to do this too?
in terms of thinking about surgery and if I would change anything physically, you know, that's not where I'm at. That's not something that I'm like, oh, I need that, right? You know, having like top surgery or bottom surgery or nose or any type of surgery for that matter to feel more like myself. Like I know that I'm in the body that I'm supposed to be in. And so I'm okay with that. You know, there's moments where you're just like, oh, I would look better in that shirt, you know, and whatnot. But I haven't come to a place where I'm like, oh, I want to have top surgery.
Okay. Now, how do you deal with people's negative behaviors toward you, especially when they get to discover that you are who you are? I wouldn't want to use any label, no. Please tell us.
It depends on the situation. It depends if I'm alone. It depends if I'm like, all right, I'm ready to fight in this moment and what my level of comfort is and where my voice is at the time in terms of dealing with transphobia. But it can be exhausting and, you know, and it's not something that everybody needs to know. Like if I'm at the grocery store, you know what I mean? And stuff. But there's been many times, yeah, that I've wished that other people were there with me to have my back so I wouldn't have to like feel so alone in this a lot of times, and that I have to have my own back and defend myself and that I can't just have a minute to breathe, you know? So that's, I think that's something we always need to think about in terms of like who our trans family members are, our gender non-conforming family members are, and how do we support them during this process so that they're not alone? Because it's a lot to deal with and to navigate, you know, and having community support is really the only way to get through it, because it's just too much to navigate on your own, you know?
Yeah, really true. There's so much for one to actually take on. Now, have you ever wished that you were someone else? I mean, have you ever regretted your decision to transition? Because I have read things about people who transition and later regret their decisions. So have you ever felt any form of regret or guilt that lingers? Please tell us.
I don't have any regrets around transitioning. For me, it was about supporting to embody and have my spirit align the way that of who I am. And so I have no regrets in doing it. And I know it's part of my journey and part of my growth. And that's where I'm at. And that's what I needed to do for myself, you know?
So true. So good to know that. Now, some people would say that you're not happy and stuff, because they feel that you should be happy in a certain way. So can you please clear things up and tell us, are you happy and comfortable in your own skin? Please tell us.
I'm happy with who I am, and you know, I'm just working to get that image in my head more to what I see in the mirror and whatnot, you know. So but yeah, that's a interesting question to answer, you know.
Thank you so much for answering that. Are your parents alive? And at first, you know, how did they react to your news about your transition? I mean, did you wake up one day and say, hey, mom and dad, I want to transition into a man or a woman or something? Or you went through the whole process before actually telling them? Please, what was their overall reaction? Please tell us.
That, you know, Nigerian parents, oh my, what are we gonna do with them, right? It was a journey. Both my parents are still alive. They're not together. And so they both had different responses in terms of being able to be with me who I am. My mom, bless her heart, like she's been one of my biggest supporters, you know, as I've transitioned. And, you know, in terms of my father, you know, he's not there yet. He's still trying to deal with the whole queer thing. He still hasn't come to terms with that, even though I've been out since 1997. But anyways, I'm hoping that my father will get to the place of supporting me, and also my siblings. They still are wrapping their whole heads around gender neutral. Yeah, that's still something that they're trying to deal with and whatnot, but I'm hoping one day that we can all be on the same page, and that would be really, really great, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Shay, for sharing that with us. Some people say that once a man is always a man and vice versa. What do you have to say about such a conservative notion?
Yeah, besides that being a conservative notion, it's also like a falsehood. You know, we are who we say we are, right? And so yeah, gender isn't what's between our legs, right? It's what's in our head, right? That's just garbage. And I think people just need to like get those notions out of their heads.
So true, Shay. So true. Now, the million-dollar question comes. Are you religious? And if yes, which religion do you identify with? Please tell us.
I'm, you know, a traditionalist, or a Yoruba practitioner, or a West African practitioner. And that's the way that I identify. And I've seen that that has, it's been more accepting. And it's also part of my lineage and who I am. And it's been a space where I feel more comfortable within it, you know, not trying to knock Christianity or Islam, you know. However, that hasn't been something that I've wanted to practice, and I haven't seen a whole lot of it have safe spaces for people who are gender fluid or whose gender identity isn't what people want it to be, right? So I felt more comfortable in terms of like being a Yoruba practitioner, given that who I am.
Okay, now this is going to be really funny. I have heard about people who feel, you know, very insecure, especially when a transsexual person wants to use the same restroom with a biological male or female person. Have you ever experienced this before? Please tell us.
Yeah, in terms of thinking about, that is a very crazy thing when people get all crazy and not crazy, but people's homophobia and their transphobia and their oppression and all their own baggage shows up when they're like, oh my God, I have to use a restroom. With somebody who's trans or gender non-conforming, they only want to be in a restroom with somebody who's cisgender, you know? I've seen that more happen in terms of cisgender women's restrooms, because there's this whole, you know, we're going to be abused in the restroom. And that's something more that I think, like, end up with, like, you know, tract infections and whatnot, because you're like, it's not safe for me to use the bathroom. I'm just trying to pee. That's it. You know, like, stop policing me in the bathroom. And so that's a big deal. And the violence has existed like that, or even looking at the locker rooms and people like, we have to protect so-and-so, and you can't go in there, and the stares you get, and, you know, not being able to go. So that's been a bit of the mess, and more of the spaces where I've experienced violence or, like, being unsafe because I'm just trying to pee. Anyway, so that's been interesting. That's been very, very interesting. But I think there just needs to be more conversations and work done around that.
Yeah, true, Shay. I agree with you that so much work that needs to be done. Now, what do you have to say to those people who say that transsexuality is a sin, or that transsexuals are mentally ill, and as a result use the medical term gender identity disorder, in that it is unnatural for one to want to be or identify with something other than their birth gender? Please tell us something about that.
In terms of what I want to say to folks who say that being trans or gender nonconforming is a sin, I'm like, get over it, you know? It's never been a sin. It's never been a problem. If you look at you know, if you look at it in a historical context or historical context, there's always been people who have been gender fluid in every culture, from Nigerian culture to, if you get specific to Yoruba culture, Igbo culture, Hausa culture, you name it, we have always existed. We've always existed I wish, you know, more people would get behind that, and especially like these different religions that are like, you don't have the right to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something that is very natural. We've been around since the beginning of time. There's a purpose for us, and we will continue to be here. And so how do we honor people in all our loveliness of our gender complexities, our gender dynamics, our loving selves, right? And just allow people to be whole and healthy human beings. So I think about that.
Thank you so much, Shay, for taking us briefly back into history. But one more question left for Shay, but I'm going to take a quick short recess now to finally come back to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. Don't go anywhere, I'm going to be right back. And I am Mike Damon. No Strings will, of course, continue. I'll be back shortly. He can be your best friend. You're alive. Someone you can talk to. He's Mike Damon. You're listening to No Strings.
At a time like this, when Nigeria faces an unnecessary fear. Fear from the minority. Fear from LGBTs. We need a voice. We need it heard. And we need to tell our stories. And yes, we need to tell it with no strings attached. Join Mike Damon every week. It's No Strings with Mike Damon.
Hi, hello, welcome back to No Strings. Ian, I am Mike Damon. You're welcome to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast, and it talks LGBT issues every week. We are still talking to Shay Adebanjo, a queer gender non-conforming Nigerian. Now, Shay, of course, I know the question will go on and on if I don't try to stop at some point, as there's so much to learn. But let's conclude with this. What is your general advice to people like you? I mean, Nigerians who are feeling different and are looking for how to be who they are truly inside. Please tell us.
That's a great question in terms of what is my general advice to Nigerians who feel different? My advice is trust yourself. Trust yourself. Have courage. Do your best to find allies, you know, because it's too hard to keep this to yourself, you know. This is something that you need to share with people who are trusted and that you need community around yourself. And if you're feeling that who I am on the inside doesn't match what my physicality looks like, you know, that's a conversation you need to have with people so that you can be well, right? You know, so that you can find safe space, you can find language to start talking about who you are, right? You know, and transition for however that looks like for you. If it's medically, if it's just in terms of changing pronouns, you know, identification and all that.
Thank you so much, Shay, for coming on to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. I really do appreciate your time. Something's actually happening. I'm actually raising funds for No Strings. No Strings is actually going through a whole lot right now. So you can contribute something and help, you know, help out and support No Strings. Go to the website. There's a fundraiser thing up there. You can just do whatever you can for No Strings. We've come to the end of the show. I'm going to be with you again next week, hopefully. If you want to contact me, you can reach out using info@nostringspodcast.0face.us, or you can also follow me on Twitter using @nspodcast1. Of course, the conversation does continue there. That'll be all for this week. I'm going to be with you again next week for another episode. Until then, bye.
Dive into the LGBT world. Get it all in one package. Entertainment, music, gossip, an exclusive interview. Only on No Strings. With Mike Damon.